Well, tonight I'm just going to share with you on the miracle of hearing the voice of Jesus. Jesus is God the Son. And we all need to learn how to hear the voice of Jesus. The miracle of hearing the voice of Jesus or hearing the voice of God. I guess the message could be titled, How Does God Speak? How does God speak? And we'd all like to hear how God speaks, right? Or how does God speak? What voice does God use? And you know, friends, you're going to have questions in the upcoming days. Questions that you can't figure out with your own mind. You know, what am I supposed to do after I leave John 3:16? What step am I to take next? What person am I to marry? What educational course should I take? You know, where should I buy a house? Where should I live in which apartment? What should I do with my life after this? And we've all got questions, right? That we struggle with. And we try to figure it out with our own minds. But friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that our minds, our human minds, are pretty small compared to the mind of God, right?
Yes, sir.
Our minds are finite. We can only see so far into the future. But we serve a God, we serve Jesus, whose mind is infinite. And He can see to the very end of our life. He can see the very best steps that we are to take for us to fulfill the destiny He has for us. Let me say that again. The mind of God is infinite. He can see till the very end of our lives. He knows the next best step for you to take. He knows the next best step for me to take for us to fulfill what He's got us on this earth to fulfill. And we can't figure it out with our own minds. We have got to go to God. We have got to get our orders from headquarters, from heaven, from God, saying, God, what is it that you want me to do next? God, what is it that you want me to say next? God, what step would you have me to take next? Because God is so much smarter than us, and His mind is so much larger. He's infinite, right? He can tell us. He can say Jonathan, He can say Rodney, He can say Jack, He can say Jew, Sue, this is the next step I want you to take. This is my best step for you. How many of us here have a friend, a really good friend? A best friend? Or maybe it was a relative that you really love or that you were really close to at some time in the past. And when something was bothering you, when you had a question, you could go to that friend, or even in present day, you can go to that friend or family member and you can just talk with them. How many enjoy talking with that person they care for? You share your heart with them, right? You share your concern with them. You share your questions with them. And they listen. And they think. And then they respond to your concern. They respond to your question. So you talk to them, right? And they communicate back to you. How many of us enjoy that? Just sitting and fellowshipping with a friend. Well, you know what, friends? God wants to be our best friend. He wants you and me to sit with Him. If we have any questions, we have any concerns, we have anything that we need to bring to Him, He wants us just to sit with Him like we sit with that best friend and communicate what we're feeling. God, this is what I'm feeling. God, this is what I'm facing. God, what step do I take next? Do I continue the relationship with this person? And guess what, friends? As you pose these questions to God, as you talk to God, He will communicate and talk back to you and respond to your questions. But the question remains tonight, how does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? Well, you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, how many here have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Many of us. Well, the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess who came to live on the inside of you? Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And this is what it says. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So the opposite is true. If you belong to Christ, right, you have the Spirit of Christ. If you belong to Christ and you said, Jesus, I'm yours. Be my Savior and my Lord. Guess what? The Spirit of Christ lives on the inside of you. In the Old Testament, where did the Spirit of God live? In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God lived in a physical temple. In the Holy of Holies. It was this back room called the Holy of Holies, where the Spirit of God was. And only the high priest could approach the Spirit of God. But guess what the New Testament, New Covenant, temple of God is? We are, you, your body, my body, is the temple of God in this New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, it was a physical building. The Holy of Holies is where the Holy Spirit dwelt. Today, He dwells on the inside of you and me. So one of the primary ways that God will speak to you about the questions you have, the concerns you have, is by the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. Now, if you're facing a big question saying, God, is this the path I'm to take? Is this the ministry I'm to be involved with after John 3:16? Is this the church I'm to go to? Is this the person I'm to marry? You've got these questions. And you go to God. And if God is saying, yes, this is what I want, this is the church I want you to go to, this is the person I want you to marry, this is the career I want you in. If God is saying yes to your question, guess what? On the inside, you will have a peace. The still, small voice of peace. The Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you will give you that peace if He is saying, yes, this is what I want you to do. Now, if you pose a question to God, and God is saying, no, I don't want you to do this, guess what? You won't have that peace on the inside. It won't be there. And if it's not there, God is saying, no, this is not what I want you to do. Let's turn to 1 Kings real quick, 19. 1 Kings 19. Elijah, the great prophet of Israel, okay? He had many false prophets slaughtered. And the king of Israel was Ahab. His wife was Jezebel. So he had all these false prophets in Israel slaughtered. And after he had them slaughtered and killed, he became afraid of Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. He was like, oh my goodness, I had all these false prophets killed. Now Jezebel is going to try to take my life. Right? So what did Elijah do in 1 Kings 19? He went to Horeb, the mountain of God. And it says he went into a cave and spent the night. He was hiding from Jezebel. And friends, tonight you may feel, or maybe you're hiding in some cave, because you don't know what to do. You're afraid, you're worried, you're concerned. Something has happened in your life. Maybe you did or something you did or said something you should not have done or said. And now you're trying to hide away. What do I do? You're stuck in a cave. Friends, it's simple. Turn to God and talk to Him. God, what are you telling me to do? And this is what happens in 1 Kings 19:9. He went into the cave and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Verse 10. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now listen, guys. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but God, the Lord, was not in the fire. And now listen to this. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. God was not, his voice was not in the fire. But how did the voice of God come to Elijah? The voice of God came to Elijah in a still, small voice of peace. Guess what? We serve the same God that Elijah served those thousands of years ago when he walked this earth. He's the same God. And just as he spoke to Elijah with that still, small voice of peace, he wants to speak to you and to me with that still, small voice of peace. The gentle whisper of peace. I want to tell you a story of something that happened to me. It was probably about five and a half years ago. Every year, towards the end of the year, Victory Christian Center, the church I go to, has a leadership conference. And back towards the end of 2002, they did their conference where the people attending the conference would attend one of several groups. They had a traveling ministers group, they had an evangelist group, they had a pastor's group, they had a group that was in media ministry, they had a group that was missionaries. And so for the very first day, this conference lasted 3 days. On Monday, I was part of the missionary group. At that time, I was doing a lot of missions work in India. And if you started with a certain group on Monday, you had to continue it into Tuesday, right? So I started with the missionary group on Monday. And I should have continued it into Tuesday. But I was like, "God, should I continue it?" And I just didn't have a peace about continuing with this missionary group on Tuesday. It was like there was no peace there. And God, I just sensed God saying, you know, move to the traveling ministers group. So the next day on Tuesday, I talked to to the person who was in charge of the missionary group. And I said, "Would you mind, I know I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to be with you Monday and Tuesday. But would you mind if today, Tuesday, I could go to the traveling ministers group?" And the leader of that group said, "Sure, that's fine." So on Tuesday, I ended up being part of the traveling ministers group. And this group of people broke down into two smaller groups. And in our group, we shared about what we were doing in ministry. So everybody went around in a circle. "I'm doing this in ministry. I'm doing this and I'm doing this." And there was a certain lady that kept asking me questions in that group. You know, "What are you doing? You're going to India. How long do you spend there? What do you do exactly?" And I was just sharing with her. Well, at the end of that session, this lady, successful businesswoman, her husband's in business, she's with him, she comes up and says, "Well, the Holy Spirit told me to give you a donation. I'll have a check for you tomorrow. I'll have a check for you tomorrow." I said, "Okay, praise God, that's great." So tomorrow came, which was Wednesday, and I was looking for her, couldn't really spot her. She spotted me, and she remembered what she said, and she handed me an envelope, friends. And I was thinking maybe $50, maybe a couple of $100, maybe $250. We were facing some needs for the work we did in India. So she handed me this envelope, right? And guess what was in the envelope? A check for $1,000. That's awesome, isn't it? That's good news, isn't it? Why? Because I was sensitive to the still, small voice of the Spirit that said, "Leave the missionary group on Monday and on Tuesday go to the traveling ministers group." Now, if I had not obeyed that voice of the Spirit, that still, small voice of peace, I probably would not have received that donation to the ministry. Friends, God has got some great things in store for you. If He did it for me, if He's doing it for me, He can do it for you. But you've got to be sensitive to the still, small voice of the Spirit. And when you hear what the Spirit of God is saying, don't just hear, but what have you got to do? You've got to be obedient and do what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. Right? Okay, the second way I believe that God will speak to us, So the first way that God speaks to us is with the still small voice of the still small voice of the what? Of the Holy Spirit, right? That still small voice of peace is the first way in which God speaks, right? You agree with that? All right, the second way in which God will speak to us is through the Bible. Let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Imagine this room at like 10 o'clock at night, guys, with the lights completely off, right? It's pitch dark, right? And if it's pitch dark, you might be bumping into certain things like chairs. You might trip over this thing right here, right? You may trip over a few chairs because you can't see anything, right? But guess what? As soon as you switch the light on, the room is illuminated. And you can see where you're going. You can see clearly the aisles, right? That's what the Word of God is like, friends. It brings light to the dark situations in your life. And tonight you may be in a really dark place. Maybe struggling with alcohol. Maybe struggling with drugs. Maybe struggling with a wrong relationship. God does not condemn you. He loves you. He says, I'm there to pick you up. And in the midst of the darkness that you're experiencing tonight, friends, God wants to speak to you through His what? Through His written word. It is a lamp to your feet. It will light up the dark areas in your life. Now imagine this. And I encourage all of you to read the Word of God in the morning when you get up. Imagine this. Imagine that you do your early morning devotions at about 5, 5:30. Or whatever time that might be. Maybe a little later on in the day. But try to get some of the Word of God into you. Read at least a chapter from the New Testament, right? Say one morning you're doing your early morning devotions, right? And you're reading in Matthew chapter 5. You just happen to be reading in Matthew chapter 5, right? Happens to be the chapter you're on. And you're reading verse 43. You have heard it, that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Right? So you read Matthew 5, and those two scriptures really stick out in your mind. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So you go about your daily activities that day, right? And somebody does something to offend you. They lie about you. And they said that maybe you took something that you took something that did not belong to you. Or maybe you're at work and somebody says to your boss, your employer, that you are on the phone too long. And your boss gets upset with you. And now you're angry with this person who lied about you, right? So what do you do if you're angry? You turn to God and say, God, what should I do? What next step do I take, God? And then God brings to your mind what you read in Matthew chapter 5. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And God says to you, I want you to forgive that person. I'm speaking to you through my written word. So the second way in which God speaks to us, friends, is through His written word. Does that make sense? The first way God speaks to us is through the still small voice of peace by the Holy Spirit, right? The second way that God many times will speak to you is through this written word. It is a lamp to your feet, but you've got to get into the Word of God, so that when you're facing a challenge, a question, God can speak to you the answer that has been penned in His holy Word. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The third way that God can speak to you, friends, is this. God can speak to you through a respected minister in your life. Maybe a pastor that you respect, look up to. Maybe it's an evangelist. Maybe it's somebody you really have a relationship with and they've known you for a long time. It's a minister you look up to. And you're facing a question, a challenge in your life. And you know, God may tell you, I want you to go to this minister, this person you look up to, and share the challenge with them. You know what? God can speak to you through that person. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
So one of the ways, the third way I believe that God can speak to you is through a respected minister, a respected person in your life. And friends, really, I believe that in these last days, one of the ways that God will speak to us finally is through dreams and visions. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, quoting from Joel. Acts chapter 2. And this is what Peter says, quoting from Joel. Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says. How many believe we're in the last days right now? These are the last days, friends. Jesus is coming very soon. In the last days, God says, I will pour my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. There's some young men in here today that God is going to give visions to speak to them. There's some older men in here today that God will give dreams and speak to you in your dreams during the night. How many believe that? Did you know that God spoke to Joseph, the husband of Mary, in a dream concerning Jesus and what he should do? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 in closing tonight. This is what it says. Remember, Herod was out to do what? After Jesus was born. He wanted Jesus dead, right? So, in a dream of the night, God appears to Joseph through an angel and speaks to him. And this is what he says in Matthew 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Verse 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So God, through an angel, spoke to Joseph in a dream of the night and said, get out of Israel and go to Egypt. And Joseph did what? He obeyed, right? And then he speaks to Joseph through an angel in a dream again. Just a few verses later. Verse 19, Matthew 2. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. And Joseph obeyed. He took the child and his mother from Egypt and went back to Israel. God spoke to Joseph in a dream. And guess what? God may speak to some of you in the coming days and weeks in dreams and in visions about what He wants you to do next. The person He wants you to contact. The person He wants you to write to. The person He wants you to build a relationship with. The place He wants you to go. The ministry He wants you involved with. God is going to speak to you. He's going to speak to some of you in dreams and in visions in the coming days. The question is, will you obey what God is speaking to you? How many want to be blessed in their lives? How many want to be blessed? All right. Just one final verse, Isaiah chapter 1. And this is what it says. If you want to be blessed, you've got to hear the voice of God. That's winning the battle for God's best in your life. But winning the war for God's best in your life, winning the war to have God's destiny fulfilled in your life, comes by doing what? By obeying what you hear God say. It does no good if you just hear. We can all hear, right? But we've got to hear and obey. Act upon what God is telling us to do. Like Joseph, he heard what the angel said in the dream. And he acted. He moved. Isaiah chapter 1. And this is what it says. Verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. I'll put it this way. If you are willing to hear the voice of God and obedient to the voice of God, you will eat the best of the land. The best of the land. What is your land tonight. Your land might be financial, more finances. Your land might be physical healing in your body. Your land might be emotional peace and security. What is your land? Your land might be deliverance from alcohol and drugs. If you are willing to obey, to hear the voice of God and obedient to the voice of God, you will eat the best of the land. God has got awesome things in store for you financially. He's got a great job in store for you. He's got joy and peace in store for you. He has got physical healing in store for you. He's got deliverance in store for you from drugs and alcohol and wrong relationships. But on the other hand, verse 20, if you resist and rebel, if you resist the voice of God, if you do not obey what God is telling you to do, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How many here want to be devoured by the sword? None of us, right? None of us, right? We want to eat the best of the land, whatever that land might be in your life. But in order to eat the best, you've got to hear what the Spirit is saying, what God is saying, and then you've got to act upon what God is saying. The ways that God speaks, number one, the still small voice of the what? Of the Holy Spirit. Number two, God speaks through His written word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Number three, God can speak to you through a respected minister in your life, right? Somebody you look up to. And finally, God can speak to you through dreams and visions. God wants to fellowship with you, friends. He wants to sit and He wants to talk with you. Like He walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, He wants to do the same with you and me. He wants fellowship with us. Fellowship begins with communication, talking to God, and having God respond back to you. Amen? God loves you guys so very much.